You know there's an epidemic of low testosterone in young males.
An increasing number of studies are showing that vaping can lead to a number of health problems in men, including reduced testosterone levels and an increased risk of cardiovascular disease and respiratory issues.
So if you are vaping or using e-cigarettes, there are better alternatives.
I mean, why would I poison myself unless I was not that smart?
So you're these guys in the year 2007, Adam Bowen and James Monzies, longtime smokers and students of product design at Stanford University. Both of you have been smoking pretty much since high school, and you knew it wasn't the best habits. Because even though cigarettes in the 60s and 70s were still bad, the modern day cigarettes you were smoking are actually a million times worse. Yeah, we all know how bad tar and nicotine are for you, but today's cigarettes that you and other people were smoking are filled with even more toxic chemicals. Tobacco companies disclosed all of this in the 90s, like how they added ammonia for faster delivery of nicotine to the brain, or how they added artificial flavors, so the smoke hits smooth on your throats, or like how they added things called bronchodilators, so all that toxic smoke enters your lungs more easily. Compared to the original cigarettes of the early 1900s, the modern day cigarette is a hyper-concentrated chemical cocktail. You deserve to smoke something better. The smokers of America deserve something better, but quitting was definitely not an option.
Relax, Lois, I can quit anytime I want. Look, I'll toss this one out right now. I'm so sorry I threw you out the window!
And so you came up with a billion-dollar idea, the e-cigarettes. With the e-cigarette, instead of breathing in a cloud of horrible toxic smoke, you will be breathing in a gentle mist of oily vapor. Sounds way better, right? And sure, you didn't have any actual data that this oily vapor was safer than smoke, but whatever, you will deal with that later. The more important thing is that smoking was old, out of fashion. But this new thing you invented called vaping, that was a new opportunity you can market to the masses.
I see we're smoking.
We're not smoking, we're vaping.
What's the difference?
Smoking is for losers. Vaping is for douchebags.
Aw, I want to be a douchebag.
So you started to build your e-cigarette prototype in your design class. It kind of looked like a permanent marker. You called it the plume. And you push your plume e-cigarette to investors as a quote healthy alternative to traditional smoking. Even though you had absolutely no data to back this up, you just assumed it was better because it had no ammonia, it had no bronchodilators, and all those other weird chemicals that were now in the modern day cigarettes. Your e-cigarette was simply pure nicotine dissolved in oil with some flavor added to it. On paper, it seemed like the perfect alternative to the toxic cigarettes, but there was just one problem. Your plume cigarette just didn't quite satisfy a smoker's craving for nicotine, because the maximum amount of nicotine you could put in your plume without burning people's lungs was around 2% or 20 milligrams per pen, while a traditional pack of cigarettes has up to 36 milligrams, which is almost double. Your e-cigarette was weak, and when it came to the appearance of your e-cigarette, it just looked kinda clunky and weird. It didn't have that cool, sexy, sleek appearance of traditional cigarettes that has been hammered into our brains from generations of marketing. Plume was flopping, and with the way things were going, Plume would just become another novelty item on the corner store shelf. Something had to be done. And it would set you off on a journey that would get an entire generation hooked on a new addiction. Vaping. What started out as an innocent idea to create a healthier alternative to smoking would devolve into something arguably just as terrible for you as smoking, and maybe even worse than smoking in some ways. Formaldehyde gas, synthetic flavors heated up to over 500 degrees in your lungs, severe breathing problems, asthma attacks, severe lung damage, and worst of all, the complete destruction of men's testosterone. With one study showing that vaping can reduce your testosterone by up to 30 to 50%. An entire generation of men and kids have become neutered, all so they can blow a cool smoke ring.
Like the movie The Ring.
This is that story. Smoking has always been considered cool thanks to generations of ads and product placements. But in recent years, at least in America, smoking is no longer cool, especially among the youth. And it's thanks to all the anti-smoking campaigns. And boom, that is your window. With smoking out of fashion, if you can find a way to have vaping fill that addictive gap in America's youth, you are gonna be a billionaire. So you scrapped your clunky Gen 1 vape and you went back to the drawing board. You needed a new e-cigarette that was sleek, discreet, sexy, just like a real cigarette. You need it so that when users take a hit, that hit has to be smooth on the back of your throat. Not like your plume pen, which felt like you were literally breathing in a forest fire with every breath. So to create the smooth hit, you added something called propylene glycol, a chemical that's found in antifreeze. Adding in propylene glycol seemed like a genius idea. It would make your vapor moist and smooth, and the FDA says that propylene glycol is technically safe for use in food products. Is your product technically a food product? Who knows? But why not throw it in? Studies would eventually come out showing that when propylene glycol is heated to insane levels and vaporized, it produces formaldehyde gas. And yes, formaldehyde gas has been proven to directly cause cancer. Yummy!
For example, there was a study that came out recently that looked at these the hair straighteners that had formaldehyde, and what they found was in women that use these products on a regular basis, they seem to double the risk of uterine cancer, breast and ovarian cancer.
But come on, you need to give your customers the most enjoyable and addictive experience possible. So propylene glycol it is. But that's just the first step. With propylene glycol, customers no longer feel like they're breathing in a forest fire. But the problem is, it still tastes like a bland, flavorless gas, which is kinda off-putting and feels like you're not taking in anything. That's why you gotta take a page out of the playbook of ultra-processed junk food and add in lots of synthetic flavors, like mango nectar, cucumber, vanilla, apple orchard. So not only will the hit be smooth and cool, but it will also taste like sweet, delectable candy. And yes, these synthetic flavors are technically considered safe by the FDA, which is extremely questionable in itself. But heating them to over 500 degrees and sucking them into your lungs? And no one really knows what that does yet. One study showed that mice exposed to vaporized flavorings experience high levels of inflammation in their bodies. But it's not illegal to put flavor into e-cigarettes, so you're just gonna go for it. And now you just need one more ingredient to make absolutely sure that your customers will continue buying over and over and over again. And that ingredient is insane amounts of nicotine. And boom, there you had it, your new product. Since the name Plume already had a bad name to it, you decided to relaunch under a new name, Juul. And unlike the Plume Pen, which only had around 2% nicotine, each of your new Juul pods will have more than double that, at 5% nicotine. The same amount of nicotine as one pack of cigarettes. Yeah, that would do nicely for the addiction parts. And finally, to vaporize all these ingredients together into that satisfying fruity vapor, you'll use a metal coil. A metal coil that will leak toxic metals like arsenic, nickel, and lead into the vape juice and then right into the user's lungs. But at least it'll look cool.
The first thing that came to my mind was, this is nothing like a cigarette. Looks really sleek, smells good in a way, doesn't hurt your throat because it's just really smooth when you hit it. You can literally Juul under a desk and not get caught.
And so, with your prototype complete, now it was time to bring it to market. So you have your winning product. Now you just need to make it sound like the coolest thing since the golden age of cigarettes.
So you get a new kind of mild taste with a special smoothness as the rich tobacco flavor flows through to you.
So here's what you did. You launched a giant marketing campaign all directed towards teens and young adults. When the press leader asked you if you ever intended to market your vapes to teens, you just said something like, no, of course not, are you crazy? We only ever intended to create a healthier version of a cigarette for adults. But your marketing material told a different story. You made sure to put your Juul ads everywhere teens and young adults would see them. You blasted every town in America with Juul propaganda. You put print ads of teenagers using Juuls in Vice magazine. You handed out free sample of Juul pods at concerts. You mounted huge digital billboards in Times Square. You scoured social media for influencers who fit your demographic. Quote, smokers, cool kids, and fun people, end quote. These young influencers would vape on camera using your hashtags Juul and vaporized. You even did presentations in schools.
Did the presenter call Juul quote-unquote totally safe more than once?
Yes.
What impact did those quote-unquote totally safe comments have on your classmates, some of whom may have already started vaping?
For my classmates who were already vaping, it was a sigh of relief because now they were able to vape without any concern.
And the teenagers went wild for it.
You just meet people in the bathroom to get a hit. I mean, there's not much nicotine in it, so what's it gonna do to me?
It can be used pretty much all the time, but you like it better.
They're very discreet compared to cigarettes, at least.
Your new product was strong, way stronger than the pathetic Plume Pen, and so the youth of America got hooked on Juul. And as kids, they didn't understand how much nicotine was in each pod.
It had a 5% and a 3%. My own son said, 5% of what? You know, no one knew what 5% nicotine meant.
All they knew was that vaping was so cool, rebellious, and flavorful. I mean, look at all the fancy vape pens I can buy. And so they just couldn't stop. And it wouldn't take long for the consequences of adding all those chemicals and flavorings to start showing. Studies started coming out connecting e-cigarettes like Juul to severe breathing problems, chest pain, asthma attacks, and popcorn lung. a horrible lung disease that was discovered decades ago when a bunch of microwave popcorn factory workers developed severe inflammation in their lungs. The cause? That delicious, oily, artificial flavored mist that was being sprayed onto the popcorn kernels. And guess what? That same type of oily flavored mist is what's found in Juuls.
So the biggest culprit is actually a chemical called diacetyl. This is basically an artificial flavoring agent that gives a buttery taste. So diacetyl is in things like popcorn flavoring, but you're also going to find it in like vanilla, coconut, maple flavoring as well. It gives a dessert-like taste that's almost cake-like, and a lot of vape juices have this chemical in it. See, the crazy thing is that it's not going to be listed in any way on the actual packaging. They list it as a flavor, and it can literally destroy your lungs when you breathe it in, especially when you heat it, right? You heat that actual chemical and then breathe it in, and it is really scary, dude. It's been shown that in high amounts, which you're doing when you're vaping all day, can cause permanent lung damage. And that's why all these factory workers who were breathing in the buttery flavor got like millions in payback. It's because their lungs were destroyed literally forever.
This is my great friend Robert Oliver, by the way. He's the founder of Top Shelf Grind, which you might have seen on Amazon. He's a great friend, and he's always been obsessed over optimizing his health. Vapers were also starting to develop something called vaping pneumonia, which was caused by the mist of hot oil that they were breathing in all day. This hot oil was literally chipping away at their lungs, and some kids even ended up with collapsed lungs. One doctor at Johns Hopkins said that, quote, "We're seeing a rash of collapsed lungs in younger people. We always ask if they've been smoking, and they'll often say, no, I don't smoke, but I do vape."
They took a picture of my lungs and like regular lungs, and it was just looked like they had fog all over them.
But the problems didn't end there, because vaping is the new trend for smokers. People have even started making their own vaporizers and vape juice with a higher voltage and ingredients like vitamin E to make the vaping liquid thicker. And sure, vitamin E sounds healthy, but like diacetyl, when you vape vitamin E into your lungs, it can totally destroy them. One 17-year-old spent 5 weeks in intensive care with something called EVALI, which stands for e-cigarette or vaping use associated lung injury. He was even put on a waitlist for lung transplants.
I had a really bad headache. That was my main thing. And I just felt really sick.
1 year ago, the self-proclaimed vaping fanatic suffered a collapsed left lung.
At this time, I didn't think vaping had anything to do with it. And I told them that, so I didn't stop.
But aside from these extreme cases, vaping is also turning you into a straight-up beta male.
So, there's been multiple studies done showing that vaping lowers testosterone like crazy. There was one study that they did on rats where they gave one group of rats the e-liquid with nicotine and one group just e-liquid without nicotine, and both groups ended up with something crazy like 30 to 50% lower testosterone when they actually started the study. And I don't think it's like the literal smoking that's doing it. I mean, we've been smoking for centuries, right? Ancient cultures have smoked as part of rituals. I think it's fine to smoke a cigar every now and then. Like, that's generally considered Lindy. But taking in those toxins and endocrine disruptors through vape juice and even in traditional cigarettes, it's absolutely horrible for your testosterone levels.
And we all know this intuitively. Imagine in your mind the average guy that vapes. What do you see? Pale, acne, smelly, dirty, either really skinny or really fat. Is it the vaping that attracts this crowd, or is vaping the cause of it? It's probably a little bit of both. But either way, you probably don't want to be a part of this crowd. So why is the government letting the youth of America poison themselves to the grave with these experimental vaporizers?
The thing about the FDA, and honestly every major US organization, is that they don't ban toxic things like vape juice because A, they straight up don't have the resources to be following these companies around and checking in if their products are toxic, and B, when they do actually find a toxic product because it's done so much damage, it literally takes them years, sometimes 10 years, to do any, you know, change. Look at like trans fats and seed oils. By the time they actually pull these products off the shelf, so much damage has been done.
This is usually how the process works. A company like Juul releases a product, people eventually realize it's killing their kids, parents complain to the FDA, the FDA files a case against the company with the Justice Department, the Justice Department puts it in their queue of waiting cases, which could take years to get to, 2 years later they finally process the case, the FDA tells the company to report on the chemicals they've been using by whatever dates, which is also usually a couple years out, the company will then file an appeal to keep their products on the shelf, the FDA may or may not reply until a couple years later, and while all this is happening, the company is still slinging their toxic vape juice to the public. That is why you cannot rely on the FDA to determine what is safe or not. The FDA set a deadline in 2018 for vape companies to submit documents on the ingredients they were using in their vape juice. But surprise, surprise, the FDA eventually pushed that deadline back to 2020.
The FDA moves at a snail's pace, and some of its lack of funding and staff, and some of it's because members of the FDA will vote against banning something because they're invested in the products or companies in some way. So you have these doctors and health experts on the board of the FDA, and maybe they're given some sort of gift, right, by a drug company or whatever, or maybe their clinic received a donation from some health food company. And this is almost like an under the table deal, right? It's kind of a revolving door between industry and the FDA. And you really can't trust what the FDA deems as safe because, like I said, they're decades behind and sometimes they don't have any interest in regulating these things to begin with.
If you're doing anything like that all day long, if you're taking any mist into your body that has chemicals in it, mm-hmm. which is essentially what those things are, the, mm-hmm. those ones that look like a lunchbox and these kids are sucking make giant clouds of smoke, yeah. those kids are taking in stimulants through their blood vessels all day long.
Yeah.
E-cigarette maker Juul has agreed to pay nearly $500 million to settle a lawsuit accusing them of running ads targeting children.
Accused of hooking an entire generation of young people on vaping, industry giant Juul today agreed to a $462 million settlement with California, New York, D.C., Colorado, Illinois, Massachusetts, and New Mexico.
The real tragedy is what they didn't communicate to young people was that the real lifestyle they were selling was a lifestyle of nicotine addiction.
After a few years of slinging your vapes to teenagers, you suddenly found yourself in very hot vapor. All those kids and their parents were taking to social media and calling you out.
The fact that they market this crap to children and they turn it into pink, pretty purple packaging candy pisses me off.
An Illinois congressman opened a case against your company, Juul, accusing you of advertising directly to teens.
96.1% of 12 to 17-year-olds started with a flavored product. Additionally, it found that 97% of current youth e-cigarette users used a flavored e-cigarette in the past month, such as mint. Flavors hook kids. And though you say that you took all the flavors out of the stores, you left the mint flavor.
And you didn't really have anything to say back. And from that moment on, there was a storm. States across the US started suing you. School boards started suing you. Parents started suing you. It was a mess. But you still wanted to hold on to your precious Juul. When an Arizona congressman demanded that you drop your flavored nicotine pods, you straight up refused. When an environmental group tried to get you to sign a document promising you would not market to teens, you refused to sign. Even though almost every other popular vape company agreed to it, you held on to Juul for dear life. And it was pretty much the worst way you could have handled this PR nightmare. And you kept it up until you just couldn't take the lawsuits anymore. And this is when you accepted defeat. Along with a generous wad of cash from none other than Altria, one of the biggest tobacco companies in the world. Ah yes, you may have started your e-cigarette company as a healthy alternative to smoking, but here you were using the same tricks they used and giving almost a third of your company into the hands of one of the biggest tobacco makers in America. And because you owe the entire country so many billions of dollars, the whole company would eventually be owned by this tobacco giant. And they'll proceed to sell Juuls right beside their cigarettes at a convenience store near you.